Broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm your host, Mike Salmon, alongside my co-host, Stephen Julian. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Mike. I felt like I needed to reintroduce myself. Hi, I'm Stephen Julian. It's a pleasure to meet you, Mike.
Between ice storms and obviously taking care of your other business, I mean, we haven't seen you in a long time.
It's been a while. You texted me and said, I hope you can find the studio. And I did get a little lost. That's why I was a little late. But we won't talk about that now.
The great thing is, any listeners that ever do miss you, they can just go to businessradiox.com.
Exactly.
Listen to an old show, and there you are.
And they listen to both of us and our wonderful guests that we have today.
We do. We have two great guests in the studio joining us from 404 Cut Tree. It's Bob Delbridge. And joining us from Women Doing Well, Sharon Epps. We will start with Bob. Good morning, Bob. How are you doing this morning?
Great. It's good to be here.
Well, glad to have you. 404 Cut Tree, before we get into some of the talking about the ice storm and how that affected the trees in the Atlanta area, tell us what 404 Cut Tree, what your company does.
We're a full-service tree company covering the North Metro Atlanta area based in Norcross.
Okay. How long have you been in business? Tell us a little bit about the company's history.
Okay. Well, we started in 1999. Actually in Roswell, and we moved to Norcross about 2002. We have 30 employees, and we're an arboriculture-oriented tree service. We get pretty high marks for very sophisticated, heavy technical removals, but we also try to save trees. In fact, our motto is we save trees too.
Bob, you started off by saying full-service tree. Obviously, one of the parts of the full service is the fact that you actually save trees, so unpack that a little bit more for us. But also, for someone who has only had tree removals once or never had it done, kind of expand on full service. What does that look like? It's more than just, you know, showing up with a chainsaw and cutting away and yelling timber. So explain it a little bit.
It is indeed. You know, in Atlanta, we love our trees, but most people don't really know a whole lot about their trees. And once the trees get, quote, sick, they fear the worst. And so they call tree companies to generally take the tree down. They assume that the tree's got to come down if it's sick. And frequently, people tell us, you know, we had a bunch of people out here, but you're the only people that asked us if you'd like to try to save the tree. And frequently we can. Especially if it's an infestation or a fungal infection, even a bacterial infection, if we get it early enough, we can treat the tree and save it, and that's a real hallmark with our company.
How did you get involved in this business, Bob?
I had a corporate career a few years, and I decided that I'd like to own my own business, and I started looking for a business and. Looking out the window one day and seeing the incredible tree canopy in Atlanta, I thought this would be a good business to check out. And surprisingly enough, my wife agreed with me. So I've done that, and it was rough for a couple of years, really learning new things and trying to learn the ropes, and also trying to really understand how to manage a business. But you know, after about 5 years, I started thinking, you know, what I most regret is not getting into it earlier. Because there are folks that that I know that went to school and got forestry degrees or horticultural degrees and really are much better prepared than I was. Of course, I have a business background, and that doesn't hurt.
A lot of rain, obviously, in the Atlanta area all the time. And then most recently, a lot of snow this winter. And so trees falling was a big item in the news recently. What can people do to help prevent their trees from falling, whether it be all the rain we've had, all the ice, and so forth?
That is a question I'll have to unpack.
We've got plenty of time.
Almost everybody, especially if you learn about what's going on in Augusta, where they took major hits to their trees, a lot of people think that happened here. They know that the trees didn't have as much ice damage, but they assume that we're very, very busy now, and we're not. Generally, it takes about a half an inch of ice buildup for the trees to start really coming down. And we didn't reach that much ice this time, thank goodness. And then there was some high wind, but it the snow had already started melting by the time that it hit. In Augusta, on the other hand, where I mentioned a half an inch, Augusta got an inch and a half. So there's hardly a tree in Augusta that wasn't impacted. Lots of damage. It's really, really sad. But when trees are in the news, people immediately go to their priority list and go, gosh, I need to prune that tree now. You know, so we're very busy now with all the sort of reactive type calls, but it's not bad stuff. And the stuff that we're doing now is, well, just like you say, how do I prepare for the next one? What happens in an ice storm is, particularly on pine trees, where you have lots of needles, and the needles get moist, and then they freeze, and there's a lot of weight on those branches. If you compare that to an oak tree where the leaves are gone, you're going to have ice build up, but you don't have the weight there that because the leaves are gone, right? They're not catching the ice. So pines are the ones that you have the most concern about in snowstorm or in ice storms. The best thing you can do to prepare, two things. One, branches, pine branches over your house represent a risk. And the longer the branch, the more risk. So from a maintenance perspective, we shorten long branches, and sometimes we remove branches. So you got to be careful because you can over-prune a tree and then make it vulnerable to disease later on. So there's a bit of a balance there.
Obviously, too, if you're looking around your yard and you want to be proactive to make sure nothing falls on your house, any tree that looks maybe sick, doesn't look healthy, is one that you would want your company to maybe to come out and take a look at?
Yeah. You know, we had a bad storm last June. Lots and lots of trees down all over town. One of the worst ones that I've seen in the time that I've been in the business. And, you know, in that storm, most of the trees were uprooting, and most of them that were uprooting were oaks. And oaks are very, very vulnerable to root rot. So if you have an oak tree in an area that doesn't get drained very well, it's real susceptible to root rot. It's kind of expensive to find out if your tree has root rot. But in all the trees that we took down back in June, we figured out that about 70% of them had issues that would have been detectable before the storm. And that's pretty amazing, you know? So it's not 100%, but an arborist can really, really help you reduce risk.
Bob, talk a little bit more about kind of the phrasing of we save trees too. Some people call you out and say, I want to cut these down, but a lot of times what I'm hearing is we want to do some pruning. And it sounds like you don't just show up and say, okay, tell us where to cut. What are some rules about pruning? You gave the good rule about pine tree branches. What are some other ones about, especially with trees we'll see a lot of around here, oaks and some of the other trees that are, I know in my yard I've got Bradford pears all over the place. So what are some of the rules about some of the different pruning of different trees as you go out?
Yeah, you know, in the arboricultural world, we say Bradford pears are an arborist's best friend.
Yes, a little inside joke. I get that inside joke. I don't know if everybody else does.
You know how in medicine they say that one of the things you keep in mind is do no further damage. And pruning injures trees. Pruning is always a stressor of trees. And stress is what makes trees vulnerable to either insect infestation or fungal infection or whatever. So you got to be careful about pruning. It's so often we see people haven't done their pruning for quite a number of years, and they want to do catch up, and they over prune the tree. Next thing you know, you got major limbs dying and maybe the tree failing. So pruning improperly is one of the ways that people hurt their trees. You got to be careful. So there are some national specifications that govern safe pruning. And you probably remember the National Bureau of Standards that technology companies follow their specifications. Well, they're not in business anymore, but the American Standards for Testing and Material, ASTM, has published a pruning specification called the A300 standard. And all professional tree companies, all arborists, are tested on their knowledge of the A300. And it has some very, very simple guidelines for protecting your trees and caring for them and not over-pruning them or hurting them. One of the ways that people hurt their trees is from spiking. Up to about 10 years ago, the way you climbed a tree was the way a telephone lineman climbed a telephone pole. You strap these big spurs on your legs, and you just climb right up the tree. Well, they leave big old holes in the tree that ooze sap forever, and it's a profound stressor of trees. So you don't want to do that. And the second thing you want to do is limit the large wounds that you make on the tree. So cutting a 2-inch branch doesn't introduce as much stress as cutting a 10-inch branch. And I see all the time 18-inch branches cut. Some of these branches are as big as large trees themselves. So there's techniques that you can follow to not make those massive cuts, but to reduce branches and make a series of smaller cuts.
You know, Mike, in carpentry world, they talk about measure twice, cut once. One of the things I'm hearing here in 404 Cut Tree is they really take the time before they even start cutting anything, and they really build the relationship and talk through and give advice. So I like what I'm hearing.
Yeah, and we're talking with Bob Delbridge, the owner of 404 Cut Tree. If a tree does fall, and hopefully that does not happen, but if it does fall on your house, typically your insurance will cover the damage to your house. Does insurance also cover the charge that you have for coming out and removing the tree? Is that typically an insurance, or is that usually an additional fee that I would pay as a homeowner?
That's really a great question, and one that there's a lot of confusion about. The most insurance policies cover damage made by trees that land on structures. So the tree has to be on something man-made or woman-made. either the roof or even a fence, sometimes a retaining wall, a shed, something like that. The insurance policies generally cover the cost to remove the tree from that structure, and also then, of course, repairing and replacing the structure. They won't cover ancillary-type cleanup. And frequently you can get in trouble because we can come in and take the tree off the house, and then a lot of times there'll be some pushback from the insurance company about the rest of the cleanup, which can be, 90% of the overall cost. So we try to help the homeowner as much as possible. If we're going to have a crane, for instance, and it takes the same amount of effort and therefore the same amount of cost to take the tree off the roof and put it on the ground next to the house as it does to spin around and put it out on the street, which therefore is covered. But going back and picking up the tree with a tractor and taking it out to the street is not covered. So there's a little bit of nuance in there that you need to know about.
I hear the word crane and removing trees off homes and cutting down trees. There's some danger involved. I mean, I've read stories about workers being hurt, and I understand there was even some workers killed recently. Talk about the dangers of the job that your company does, and how do you protect your employees?
I think that we are a workers' comp salesman's good friend. They say that tree cutters are in the top five most dangerous professions in America, right up there with roofers and deep-sea fishermen and offshore oil workers. So it's a very dangerous job. And the danger is amplified by the elements. So if you have a tree that falls in your house and maybe you're getting water in, you want that off right then. Well, it may be too icy to get to you, or the roof may be very slippy and there might be high winds. We're passionate about helping people to deal with these life issues, but we don't want to risk one of our workers' lives in order to help you protect your property. So there's sort of a balance there, and we try to follow that. So a lot of times we'll reduce the tree on the roof just enough to put a tarp on there. Sometimes the tarp is even over part of the tree just until the conditions are more safe to deal with the rest of it.
Bob, talk a little bit more about the people who work for 404 Cut Tree. It's a very dangerous job. But yet you've also talked about helping people and kind of a passion for that. Describe either all or some of your employees, the type of person that fits well. They've got to seek a little bit of adventure and but yet also have a people side to them. So talk about them a little bit.
Certainly. Of course, there's many different trades that are involved in an arboricultural firm. We already talked about the arborists, who tend to be more on the front end, and they deal with some of the health issues of trees. But they're also the ones that write the estimates for caring for the trees and then, if necessary, removing the trees. But we have tree climbers and groundsmen and tractor operators and truck drivers and on and on. The trade that most people think of when they think of tree cutters are the climbers. And I spent some time in the Marine Corps flying naval aircraft, and in the military aviation community, you have all sorts of different pilots. You have the transport pilots, and you have the attack pilots, and that's the community I came from. But then you have the fighter pilots. These are guys that tend to take more risks than the rest of the other guys in aviation. And I observed that, first of all, a certain type of person is attracted to that profession, and then that profession, the amount of risk, tends to sort of create an attitude. And the whole, you know, it's almost a cliche, the fighter jock, you know, strutting around like a banty rooster. Well, I think it goes with the territory. To be competent in that kind of a precarious situation breeds that kind of attitude. Well, I've observed that tree climbers behave a lot like fighter jocks. It is incredible. But these guys make their living. You know, I mentioned you don't spike trees that you're not taking down. Well, the way you get to the top of a 90-foot tree is you throw a rope to the very top. Imagine that, like throwing a lasso to the top of your tree and then climbing the rope hand over hand and then taking the branches off and whatnot. The branches frequently weigh 500-600 pounds, and they're over your kid's bedroom. So one mistake, and we cause a lot of damage. One slip, and you're coming down. And in the last month, there have been two tree climbers killed in the North Metro area. And so, anyway, I mentioned I came out of a military aviation background. I don't want any fighter jocks in my business. I know some; they're great guys, and there are plenty of climbers with that mentality. I understand how they get it, but that's not who I want in my mother's backyard. I want somebody that's got the sweet spirit, that takes the risk, but isn't sort of driven to take unnecessary risk.
Bob Delbridge, our guest from 404 Cut Tree. Bob, before we get all the contact information for our listeners so they can reach out to you if they need your services, you're based here in Norcross, here in Gwinnett County. What is the service area, though? Everywhere in Metro Atlanta you can serve?
No. We're pretty much north of I-20, and we cover the western part of Gwinnett. So we cover Lilburn and Duluth and Suwanee and Norcross and Tucker. Well, I guess Tucker's in DeKalb. But north of I-20 and then pretty much east of the I-75 and on up 85 to Suwanee and Cumming on the north side.
All right. And for those that want to find out more information, want to look into your services, where can they get all that types of kind of stuff?
We're online, www.404cuttree.com, no hyphens or spaces. And, of course, our number is 404-CUT-TREE, 404-288-8733.
Do you want to introduce your partner in crime who walked in a few minutes ago?
Yes. Stuart Prince is a native, a UGA graduate with degree in landscape architecture.
Ah, Stephen, you're outnumbered now, 2-1.
Yeah, there's not a good horticultural program at Tech, sorry.
And Stuart's also a certified arborist. Okay. And has done very well with our company.
All right, Stuart, good to meet you. And any parting words on 404 Cut Tree before we move on to our next guest?
No pressure, Stuart. Just say one sentence that will sum everything up and wow everyone in the audience. Go.
You've been in the business, so what do you enjoy most about this industry?
I think all aspects of it are fantastic. I think all aspects of this business are fantastic. Everything from the climbing to the estimating to giving the clients what they want to saving trees to to building somebody's backyard from start to finish. I mean that the whole thing is just so much fun for me. You know, I can do the destruction, I can do the creation. It's just a blast. So, and then I get to save trees along the way. So all about it is a plus. So if one thing I could say about 404 is that if you want a good quality tree company, then call us because there's not that many around town. So, yeah. You know, you want a good quality company that you can send to your mom, you can send to your dad, your grandmother, give us a ring.
We knew that 404 Cut Tree was very unique. The first thing Bob said when he says, you know, sometimes we try to see if we can save the tree first. Right. I'm like, wait, that's going to kind of hurt business a little bit. So that's very unique. So Stuart, Bob, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
I'd just like to add one thing that Stuart brought up, and I should have, but I'm glad that's why you're here, Stuart. Our motto is we want to be the company you refer to your mom. And that's a value that really sums up the way we operate. And we reward guys when they do that. And sometimes it means passing up a fee up front, but later on it builds loyalty among our customers.
Absolutely. Right. Thanks again, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Joining us now on Gwinnett Business Radio from Women Doing Well, it's Sharon Epps. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here in the studio. Tell us what your company, Women Doing Well, what is that company all about? What do you do?
Well, Women Doing
Well. Other than doing it well, what exactly do you do well?
Well, you would be surprised at how many women just learn our name and say, I want to be a woman doing well. We actually were founded about 4 years ago by four women in the professional financial services industry. And we looked around and said, there's so much of this whole world of finance that is a man's world, so to speak.
Steven.
What? So, yes, I am a man, Mike.
In the financial services industry.
And I am in the financial services, absolutely.
That's so true. And so we said, you know, is it possible that women have a different approach? And you've probably heard the phrase, women are like spaghetti and men are like waffles. And that's really what we've experienced even in the financial industry is that it tends to be compartmentalized. And so your attorney and your CPA and your financial advisor, your insurance, none of those folks tend to talk to each other. They actually are fairly siloed, a little bit more like a waffle. And yet we knew that women thought a little bit more like spaghetti. And so our job, we believe, is twofold. One is to bring just awareness to this issue in the financial services industry. And then secondly, to be cultural change agents and to work with those firms that serve women that are willing to make those changes and approach women differently, possibly, than they do some of their male clients.
When did this start, and how did it start? I mean, you talked about, you know, you saw, I guess you felt like there was a need there, but to actually start a company is a whole different beast.
Absolutely. There were four of us that actually are spread across the country. There are two of us here in Atlanta, one in Dallas, and one in California that had similar financial services backgrounds, but really just felt this prompting that we needed to be paying attention to those that others were not. And at the same time, we started seeing numbers coming out of the financial industry that were amazing us. So for example,70% of the $41 trillion that are being passed from one generation to another are going to women. So almost three quarters of the wealth transfer for the next generation is going towards women. We saw numbers like that. We saw numbers like that women are becoming widows and outliving their husbands. The average age of a widow is 55. We started seeing that 60% of the women are not only working outside the home, but one out of 11 entrepreneurs are women. And so we're just seeing an increase in this whole flow of money that's going to women. And that was really the passion on our hearts. We all also are women of faith. And so we just started praying about what are we supposed to do about this? And we recognized that someone needed to step in the gap and start telling this story.
So you said after prayer, you kind of said, okay, what are we going to do? So expand on that a little bit. What exactly are some of the things that Women Doing Well is doing to bring about these two key principles and key things that you guys are trying to accomplish?
Well, what we started is a research-based business. And so our approach comes with a very easy start of where are you in your business? So we will do an assessment or an analysis. And actually, we started with a national research project to talk about the landscape a little bit more. It ended up that we had over 7,000 women participate in this research study, which, by the way, the researchers told us was a phenomenal response. Typically, even the well-studied research projects will have definitely less than 1,000, oftentimes less than 500 participants. And so our researchers said just the fact that we had so many women participate in our project was a finding in and of itself. It said that women were ready for their voice to be heard. And so through that researched approach, we have data now to share that this whole saying that women are like spaghetti is actually true. It's not just a saying, because what we found is that when women are able to link their purpose and their passions to their finances, then they will engage and be more effective in their financial management. But when it's siloed, they tend to back off. In fact, working with financial advisors, one of the things that I hear more often than not is, can you help me just get women to the table? They won't even come talk to us. And Stephen, you're nodding your head there.
Quite vociferously, I am, yes.
So we really look at, we consider it to be a bridge that we work with the financial advisors and the professionals to be able to speak the language of women and be able to integrate this whole idea of your purpose with your finances. But then we also believe that the women need to lean in and cross this bridge and recognize what a significant influence and affluence that they have to make a difference.
We're talking with Sharon Epps. She's the founder and partner with Women Doing Well. And now you've got all your research, you've got all your data that you talked about. You mentioned there's four of you that started this company. Obviously, you can only touch so many people. How do you expand? How do you get to more women out there? Are you trying to bring some more into the fold to help spread the message?
We're doing that as well as continue to speak and raise awareness. So part of our job every day is being on the platform in various venues to share the information that we've learned and to realize that the four of us can't tackle this issue alone. We've actually been amazed at the number of women, and these are business leaders, executives that are leading large corporations, entrepreneurs, women of wealth, women leading foundations, that when they learn of the work that we're doing, they say, I want to be part of Women Doing Well, or I want to be a woman doing well. So actually, we have the four founding partners, but we also have 12 women on our advisory board that are helping to lead the charge of this growth effort.
What has been, go back to the research for just a second, how has the research been used? You got it accomplished, and then what's being done with the research? Obviously, you're presenting it when you speak, but what are some other things? Have some companies wanted to tap into that? Have some corporations who say, you know, this is what we're trying to accomplish. We're trying to get women to connect with finances and purpose. How has it been used?
It has definitely been used that way. And so we actually incorporate it into our consulting process. And we believe we have a fairly unique consulting process in that it begins with a focus group normally of clients from within that business and even prospective clients for that business. And so the first step of our process is we actually ask the women, that are touching that business or that potentially could touch that business, how they could be served better. But deeper than a client type survey, we go into these issues of life purpose and how that integrates with their finances. And then the second step is we bring in our research and look and compare to the research of the business itself. And so we believe that's a fairly unique process because we have a body of extant research that we've done, and then we compare that to the specific needs of that particular business, and that enables us then to make recommendations that are customized and tailored, but they are, it's not nearly as expensive of a process as doing a major research project because you have the benefit of the Women Doing Well research.
So obviously financial service industry businesses can have you come in and work with their clients and prospective clients. Are there any other businesses outside of financial services that you guys are targeting or that are listening to this, whether they're in Gwinnett County or nationwide, that would want to go, wow, that I could see some benefit for that? Help me think outside
the
box.
Yes. I think the third category are those women-owned businesses. So the women that are starting businesses and particularly growing businesses oftentimes get very frustrated because they are trying to navigate this world of their insurance, their attorneys, their CPAs, and it's not their language. And so that's the third category I would bring up is no matter what industry you're in, if you are a woman-led business and you're resonating with this message, then we could come in and talk about how to navigate that and actually how to find and even train your financial professionals, because we believe that it will actually be the women clients of these financial professionals that motivate the change.
So let me make sure I'm clear, Sharon. So you are consulting and helping financial professionals. You're not the ones competing with them. You're not the ones that's rolling over the IRAs and things like that.
That is correct. So what we do is try to help them grow their business by being more effective in serving their clients.
What are you finding as you talk to financial professionals out there that they're unaware of, that you open their eyes when it comes to the women out there that they serve?
Wow, one of the biggest things is that 3/4 of widows, once their husbands either die or even if they become single through divorce, 3/4 of women will change their financial professionals after a significant life event like that. And so when we tell financial professionals that, it is a huge motivation to bring the women to the table. So we talk to so many financial professionals that will only deal with one spouse in the couple, and yet they're at huge risk, literally, of losing 3/4 of their business if they're not effectively engaging women. That's usually the statistic that gets their attention.
Wow. Where do you see the company going? What are your plans? Where do you see yourself maybe even five years down the road?
Well, 5 years from now, we would love to have women in every major city that could serve as these consultants or coaches with these businesses to help them be more effective in serving women, as well as a coaching practice for women themselves to, like we said, to help them even train their own financial professionals so that they know that they can integrate their life purpose and their passion and what they're doing.
Can I ask my stupid question now, Stephen? Is now a good time?
Yes, we've reached that time in the interview.
Okay. Good. Sure, okay. I'm looking at it from a business person's perspective. Where are you generating your revenue? How do you make your money? How do you survive?
It's both from the consulting process as well as our speaking engagements, but by far it's with working with these advisory firms. They hire us on a project basis and conducting the focus groups and the research, and then ultimately we will give them business recommendations that grow their business. Many of the businesses that we serve will actually fund our research out of their marketing budget because it is a way to gain more clients.
So if a woman comes to you and they're listening to the interview and they go, I want to Sharon is speaking my language because she understands women, and I'm a woman for this listener. They would come to you and they would say, can you do my finances? You would say, no, but let me steer you towards a company that is women-friendly, if you
Absolutely,
will.
Yes. And also, let me help you develop a checklist of what you're looking for in those companies so that you will receive the type of advice that you're looking for.
I would think probably one of the questions we love to ask on this show is tell us some stories, tell us some success stories. I would imagine almost every single one of your success stories is a wide-eyed look in a woman's face of you have given a voice to what I have been feeling but haven't been able to acknowledge or I thought I was the only one who felt this way. Especially
Stephen, you're in touch with your feminine side because
could you call my wife and tell her that? I very much appreciate it.
You've absolutely nailed it. That's so true. We have, as we talk with women, we tell them that oftentimes we feel like that they are saying the Calvary has arrived. We've been looking for you and the Calvary's here. We like to use the term that we help them with tools that fit the hand of a woman. And so, you know, if you think about it, a typical toolbox is red and black and very male-oriented. And in the last few years, I've noticed that even Home Depot has come out with pink-handled hammers and pink-handled saws. But we like to go a little bit further.
I know I'm getting Stephen for Christmas.
We like to go a little bit further than just turning it pink. In fact, we often say we're allergic to the color pink because I think there's a misnomer that if you just make something pretty, that it matters for women. And although women do love beauty and we love to make things more beautiful, there's a much more substantial base to a woman that really wants to make a difference in the world. And so what we do is we design tools that fit her hand, that help her understand how she's making a difference in the world. And that's how and why she can engage with her professionals.
All right. If we've touched somebody out there and they want to find out more, they want to know how to get involved and reach out to you, how can they do that?
You can email us at info@womendoingwell.org. And of course, I would also challenge you, go to our website. Womendoingwell.org actually has tools on the website. If you happen to be a financial professional, we even have a financial advisor's checkup. And if you're brave enough, it's about a 15-question, just little mini self-test. You don't have to tell anybody your results. But go on there and see how you're doing in serving women. And if you find that you have a little bit of a need, reach out to us. And we'll be glad to walk you through it.
And Bob, you have a question for Sharon?
I do have a question, Sharon. So I'm a business owner, and everything I own is tied up in that business. And as you start thinking about succession planning, you know, it's occurred to me that if I were to die before my plans are ready, my wife, you know, our income is coming from this business, and if she's not really in touch with that business, and she could really be overwhelmed. So, and I think a lot of men would be in my shoes. Would something good be for me to give your business card to my wife?
Absolutely. So one of the things we do is walk with women and give them the tools to ask the right questions to be engaged, because we found that women oftentimes just don't know where to start in asking the questions. But we've had many husbands like you, Bob, that have said, wow, I'm really concerned that if something should happen to me, she might not be prepared. And we also are trying to be successful in preparing your financial advisors to bring her into that conversation so that she'll be a part and know what's going on.
Sharon, great stuff. Appreciate your time. I mean, I know we could talk forever. By the way, I love the name of the company, Women Doing Well. I mean, the name means everything. I mean, if he was like, Women Doing Okay, it might not be as successful.
I think you're right. And we've been very pleased to be able to say we are Women Doing Well, and we help women do well as well.
All right, Sharon Epps from Women Doing Well, thanks so much once again. I want to thank both our guests, not only Sharon, but of course Bob Delbridge and Stuart Prince from 404 Cut Tree. Quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station, and that you can listen to any of our programs 24/7 by logging on to gwinnettbusinessradio.businessradiox.com, or if that's too complicated, just go to businessradiox.com and click on the Gwinnett Studio. Stephen, any parting words for
us?
Well,
I found out today that I'm in touch with my feminine side, and arborists are my best friends. So it's a good day for me.
And I know I'm getting you a pink hammer for Christmas.
And I'm going to get you one with flowers on it.
I can't wait. For Stephen, I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.